Frank Zappa.
Joni Mitchell.
Neil Diamond.
Somewhere in the greater Los Angeles area.
The Mamas and the Papas.
The Buffalo Springfield.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Just around the corner from the 24-Hour Fitness.
The guard.
Couldn't be hot.
From the birds.
There are two men on the third floor of an nondescript apartment building with a very old mixing board. On the balcony.
Yes, indeed. Oh, once is enough. Thank you.
Oh, did it start playing again?
It started playing again.
I turned down the stereo speakers. I couldn't hear that.
You turned down the monitor just in
the
time.
The monitor, yeah, because I'm still without headphones.
I'm sorry about that.
Donation button, balconyradio.com.
Please support. Thank you. Hello, and do welcome. You are welcome again once to the balcony. This is Scott.
And this is Anthony, and this is Balcony Radio. And once again, the balcony is open. And do you want to tell them what we're doing today?
Well, it's a very interesting edition of the 101 series.
Yeah. Interesting.
Lesson 36.
This is the end of the quarter kind of lesson. End of this. I'm thinking quarters because that's the school I go
that's
to.
Right.
There's a quarter system.
That's
which is
right.
Great.
You're the college guy, man.
Yeah, but this is like that end of the semester blow off class kind of balcony lesson. This is the comedy show.
A very interesting comedy show. We have chosen some. People that actually many of them I'm not familiar with, but they all have one thing in common.
They're going to be talking about music for the most part. A couple of the sets that we're picking are non-music, and then we just pick because they're funny and they're kind of music related. but for the most part, we're finding some interesting comedians talking about different musical genres or artists and taken and as they say in England, taken the piss out of them.
That's right.
So actually this was born out of a conversation recently where the last time, actually I think it was the last time we sat down, I was showing you the AV Club website.
Oh, right,
on my
exactly.
laptop, because I was showing you the first track we're gonna play, because
right, exactly.
I just listened to it that same day, and it was so goddamn funny.
Yes.
And it's a music story, so I thought, you got to hear this. This is great. So you heard it, and about halfway through, I think we started saying, hey, we should do another comedy show, and because we've already done one, and that was an off-the-wall episode, because you had some old creaky comedy vinyl.
That's right.
And we had some fun putting that on the old turntable one night. So then I thought, let's do something like that with modern comedians and, you know, stuff that we've downloaded. So it's not an off-the-wall show. It's a pilfered show. So,
but it's going to get you in familiar with a lot of people that,
that
are some very, very funny.
Yeah, that's right. So
and also some classic people that you'll be familiar with.
Yeah, a couple of classics, but there's also a couple of alternative, you know, fingers in the air, you know, making quotation signs, alternative comedians. That hopefully, if you're not familiar with, you'll enjoy. But the first thing that we're playing is someone who's rather new, and Scott really dug this. Do you want to just play it? This is Tig Notaro telling her funny story of her numerous encounters with Taylor Dane.
I was at this party with this friend of mine, Pam, and we were going to leave the party, and she said to me, "Do you know who that was standing by the door?" I said, "No." And she said, "That was Taylor Dane." And I was like, "Oh my God, I love Taylor Dane." I don't know, do you guys know Taylor Dane? Yes. Yeah, she was no, you're shaking your head, no. She was in the 80s. She was a pop singer in the 80s and 90s. She sang "Love Will Lead You Back." She sang "Tell It to My Heart." Yeah. Yeah. And now you're nodding your head. I'll sing it. I'll sing it for you. I know, I just said I was going to sing. In fact, that was my idea. And at this point, all you're doing is holding up the process, because I'm like, I'm going to sing it. And you're like, sing it. And then I'm like, yeah, I know, I said I was going to sing it. So if you don't mind, I'm going to sing it.
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar? Anyway, I love Taylor Dane. And not ironically. I love her. So I went back into the party, and I went up to her, and I said, "Excuse me, I'm sorry to bother you, but I just have to tell you, I love your voice." And she just turned and said, "Yeah, don't do that anymore." And I looked over, and this other friend of mine was doubled over laughing at me. She's like, "Yeah, you just got dissed by Taylor Dane." It felt horrible. So I left the party. Then like 9 months passed, and I happened to be out to eat with that same friend of mine, Pam. There was a party of 10 that was seated right behind us. You guys are not going to believe who was sitting there. Yeah, it was Taylor Dane. It's exactly who it was. Pam said, "Oh my gosh, you have to say something to her." And I said, "No question." Because I still love Taylor Dane. But I didn't know what to say to her. And then I realized the best thing that I could say to Taylor Dane would be the exact same sentence that I said to her the first time. So I turned around and I interrupted her entire dinner. And I said, "Excuse me, I'm sorry to bother you, but I just have to tell you, I love your voice." And she said, "My speaking voice?" And I said, "Yes. I was sitting here with my friend. I heard someone talking behind me. I said, I need to turn around and compliment this person on their speaking voice." And what I didn't realize at the time was that Taylor Dane was no longer pursuing a singing career. She was pursuing an acting career, which I guess is why she was no longer accepting compliments on her singing voice. And then about a year passed. And at this point, I've told all of my friends about my run-ins with Taylor Dane and how she's the easiest person in the world to run into. So I was at my writing partner, Kyle's house, and my phone rang, and it was Sarah Silverman. And at the time, Sarah was dating Jimmy Kimmel. Sarah called and said, "Guess who's promoting a CD on Jimmy's show tomorrow night?" You guys will not believe who it was. Yeah, it was. It was Taylor Dane. So Sarah called. She said, "I want you to come down to Jimmy's show tomorrow night, and I want you to say those exact same words that you said the other times." And I said, "No question." But I didn't end up having to go to Jimmy's show the next night. Because that same day, don't shake your head at me, that same day that Sarah called me at Kyle's house, Kyle and I took a lunch break, and we ordered lunch to be picked up. We walked across the street to the strip mall where the restaurant was. Kyle was walking in front of me. I was walking behind him. He walked up to the restaurant. He opened the door. He looked at this table. Then he looked back at me. Then he looked back at the table, and then I was like, yeah, of course she's here. Then Kyle and I walked over to the counter where our food was going to be waiting for us, and Kyle was just pacing back and forth, about to have a stroke. And I was like, what is your problem? And he said, nothing, I'm just really uncomfortable right now. And I said, why? And he said, because I know what's about to happen. And I said, yeah. And I can't wait to do it. I said, this has nothing to do with you. I said, this is between me and Taylor Dane. I said, but what I do need you to do, when I go up to her lunch table, I want you to just take my cell phone and just point it in the general vicinity. Just videotape me talking to Taylor Dane. So I finally have proof. And he was like, okay. So I walked up to Taylor Dane's lunch table. And I said, excuse me. I'm sorry to bother you. But I just have to tell you, I love your voice. And she said, thank you. And I was like, that was weird. But the best part was when Kyle and I went back and looked at that video footage, you didn't hear me talking to Taylor Dane. You just saw me go, and then over that footage, you hear Kyle in an imaginary conversation going, oh, hey. Hey, man, what's going on? I'm having lunch at the chicken cafe, at the pizza cafe, at the California Chicken Kitchen Pizza Kitchen Cafe. So the person that Kyle made up in that conversation was the world's most difficult human being that will not let the easy stuff slide. The person on the other half of that conversation is going, whoa, 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 back up, dude. Where are you having lunch? At the chicken what cafe? Nah, man, I've never heard of that place. This conversation is going no further until you make it clear to me where exactly you're having lunch right now. Kyle could have made up anybody he wanted to. He could have made up a nice friend. It was all up to him. He actually didn't have to be saying anything at all. He could have just been standing there. And I actually feel confident that I'm the reason that Taylor Dane ended up putting out another record. Because you know she called her manager and was like, my fans miss me. They love me. I mean, sure, they're a bunch of he-she-looking robots. Excuse me. I'm sorry to bother you. But I just have to tell you. I love your voice. Excuse me. Sorry to bother you. But I just have to tell you. I love your voice. Excuse me. I'm sorry to bother you. And people are always like, there is no way that story is true. And it's like, why would I make up a 14-minute story about a pop singer that nobody's heard of? And just as a side note, I left out other times that I ran into Taylor Dane. And that Sarah has, too. I mean, like, that story used to be 20 minutes long. Just because she and I keep running into town.
Okay. Now that's got to be the
I want to hear the other stories.
The strangest story I've ever heard.
I really want to hear the long form version of that.
Run-ins with a pop star.
Taylor Dane.
Tig Notaro.
Oh, Tig is so funny. The way she tells that story is just wonderful. And that makes me laugh every time I hear it.
Exactly.
It's so funny.
It's amazing. What is the name of the record that is from?
The record is called Good One, and it's her first album, I think. And I've seen her do stand up a few times on video, never in person yet. And she has her own podcast. It's called Professor Blastoff, which is really groovy. And she's been a guest on other things that I like, because I'm a big fan of the comedy podcasts. You're more of listening to old-timey radio,
yes.
And like dramas and serials and stuff like that. Either whatever gets you through the day. But I've heard Tig on a bunch of shows, and she's hilarious. She's a wonderful guest.
Oh, and that was a great story.
And that's
first time I heard that, I just laughing.
Scott was just busting up laughing. It's just
such a
well-told
story. It's a great story, yeah.
Just of all the people, Taylor Dane. That's just hilarious.
You know, and I'm sure Taylor Dane hears people.
And she
like
doesn't
that
know one. Who the fuck anyone is who comes up to her. We were talking about that while Tig was talking, that was playing, about how it must be weird to be at that level of fame where you don't remember people talking, you know, like certain interactions with the same person that are the same over and over. Like, I would think, you know, it's strange to be famous enough not to have deja vu.
Right.
That's weird. Like, I would think if you or I had that interaction where somebody came up and said that to us and then did it two or three more times and looked the same, and, you know, like the same looking person. And Tig's is a very distinct looking person because, like she says at the end, a he-she robot. Like, because she's...
Taylor Dane is somebody that sees hundreds of thousands of people, too.
Tig is pretty boyish and has a really monotone voice. I think you would remember that.
Yeah.
So,
you
know, so I guess that's the level of fame where deja vu doesn't kick in is Taylor Dane.
Oh, okay.
Yep, that's how we should figure that out.
Okay, well, let's move on to another laugh fest here. What are we playing next?
Oh, can I request one?
Sure, one?
Let's play Aziz next. It's the third one up on the top there.
This one here?
Yeah, so let's play this. This is one of my new favorite comedians, Aziz Ansari, and this is him talking about R. Kelly.
Maybe my favorite musician that I've ever met was R. Kelly, I think. And in case you're not familiar, R. Kelly is a brilliant R&B singer / crazy person. Like, they did an interview with him on BET, right? And the guy doing the interview is probably a guy like me, you know? Huge fan of R. Kelly and his music and hopes he really is innocent of those terrible things he's accused of. So, first question, the guy goes, "Now, Robert, are you attracted to teenage girls?" And R. Kelly, you know, if you're R. Kelly, that's easy, right? All you gotta do is be like, "No, not at all, no! That's all you gotta do, right? That's all you gotta do!" That is not what R. Kelly does. R. Kelly goes, "Define teenage." Literally the worst answer. The only worst answer would have been if you went, "Huh, yeah." So that's the person we're dealing with. So I go to his concert with my friend Jason. We get there, show sold out. People are psyched for R. Kelly. Jason looks over me and goes, "Hey, Aziz, me and you are the only two white people at this concert." And I was like, "First of all, Jason, I'm not white. Second of all, you're the only white guy at this concert. We might kill you, Jason." So the concert starts and it's incredible. R. Kelly is the best showman. Like, he has his part in the show where he has sex with an invisible woman. You just hear the sound effects. So it's like taking off her blouse. And then when he does the, a spotlight shoots out of his cock and goes over the whole audience like he's coming on the whole crowd. And then a spotlight hits a screen and the screen explodes. And I was like, "Whoa, you are not gonna see shit like that at a Modest Mouse concert. Wow." And then, like, there's all this other weird stuff. Like, at one point, he leaves the stage, right? And they cut to a video of him playing basketball with his friends. Lasts about 4 minutes. Comes back on stage, goes to the next song. Doesn't address why I showed that video. You can't do shit like that. I can't leave the stage, show you some video of me playing foosball with my buddies, and then come back and be like, man, iPhones are crazy. You'd be like, yo, man, what's up with that video you showed? You gotta explain that shit. That was weird. Then, you know, we go backstage and meet him at the end of the show. He's very nice. He's like, hey, you guys should come to this after party we're doing. And I was like, yeah, sure. And so we go to this nightclub. And once again, Jason and I are the only two white people there. And when people know R. Kelly's at a nightclub, they lose their shit. And then he took the stage, and people went nuts. And he started doing that song that's like, I'm in love with a stripper. And he's doing the song, and at one point, this woman just jumps on stage and starts giving him a lap dance. She finishes the lap dance, and R. Kelly goes, who can top that shit? 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 Second woman comes on stage, gives him an even crazier lap dance. And R. Kelly goes, who can top that shit? Who can top that shit? Who can top that shit? Third woman comes on stage with humongous breasts, whips them out, slaps the first three rows, grabs R. Kelly's head and just goes, ah! And then R. Kelly pops out his head and goes, whoa, ain't nobody gonna top that shit. I'm out. And he leaves. And I was like, whoa, what a performance. But my favorite, my absolute favorite part of the R. Kelly show was like 20 minutes in, he stops everything and he starts talking to the crowd. And what's great about that is that R. Kelly does not talk like you and I talk. He talks like R. Kelly talks. So he goes like this. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know the name of this building, but the people that run this building, they said Robert. They said Robert. They said Robert. You've been only doing your show for 20 minutes and it's already getting too freaky tonight. They said Robert. They said motherfucking Robert. There will be no touching of yourself in this area tonight. Do you want to know what I told them? I said, L.A., do you want to know what I told him? I said, L.A., do you want to know what I said to these people when they said that to me? Do you want to know what I told him? I said, I'm a grown ass man. And I can do whatever the fuck I want tonight. LA, can I do my show? And everyone's like, fuck yeah, I don't know what this is. And that was the greatest concert I've ever seen. Thank you guys so much.
Oh my goodness.
Fuck yeah.
Now that was a very, very strange story. From Mr. Aziz. That was very cool. Very cool indeed.
The best part was what he was doing there in that last bit where he was singing But Robert, he was jumping around like he was doing hopscotch.
Yeah, really, the video was
sorry.
Video was just
so funny.
That was amazing video on
oh,
that.
He's hilarious. Oh my god. All right.
So we got the comedy going tonight.
Yeah,
here
we really do. That
was special
so
edition of the 101 series.
That's right. This is what is this, lesson 36?
36.
That's right, 36. And that was Aziz Ansari with his with a track. I guess you can call it a track on a comedy album. R. Kelly.
Yes.
And that's from his special Intimate Moments for a Sensual Evening, which I saw and is really funny. It's really great. So he released it as an album too. It's a DVD as well. So that was on Comedy Central, I think in 2009 or so, or maybe something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it holds up pretty well. It's a really good special, and he's due for another one. He's really funny. So
when they talk about the artist, though, so that's the best thing. That's
yeah. I tried to find a few of those. But yeah, a couple of them are about a specific artist. Like that CeCe's top story we're going to tell show play later is really funny. That's going to blow your mind.
Dave, let's play. You want to play this one next, maybe?
Yeah, let's play this. This is one of our, should I speak in the plural, of one of our favorites?
One of our favorites, yes. Yes.
He ranks really high on my list, probably top, definitely top five. I don't know about you. Top 10?
Yeah, top 10 at least, yeah.
Yeah, I've never sat down to actually make a top list. We should do
comedians,
that.
Comedians, yeah.
But
because they kind of vary, you know, from year to year.
Yeah, but some people stick, and Eddie Izzard, who we're going to play next, is someone I found when I was in high school, I guess around when he made his breakthrough special Dressed to Kill. Have you seen that?
That's a good one, yes.
Yeah, I think I showed that to you. We've seen that. I think I've like three or four of his specials on DVD.
Yeah,
because I'm such a nerd. And this is from one of them. This is from Definite Article, and this is him talking about musical instruments.
Oh yeah, musical instruments. I played the clarinet, right? At school. I want to play the piano, but some reason I got a clarinet. I don't know quite how that worked. And if you've ever heard, five people can play the clarinet in the world, and they make quite a beautiful wooden. It's just a wooden noise. It floats. There's not a noise, is it? It's like a clarinet. But if you. I played it like a foghorn being dragged through a place where foghorns shouldn't be dragged. It was just. It was bad noise. And if you're an adult and you're playing a musical instrument, you're probably making quite a decent sound because you want to play it. Your heart's in it. You've got to have feeling. You've got to go. You can't paint a picture that if you don't want to. Oh, it's a fucking Eiffel Tower. You know? It's just a splurge. It's an Eiffel Tower. You've got to be in there. Now, if you're a kid playing a musical instrument, there's probably a certain element of parental pressure that's gone in there. Yes, little Johnny, you shall play the violin, because I never had the chance when I was a child. Well, you got the chance now, why don't you learn it now? No, I don't think I will. I have to watch telly and drive cars now. It's the pressure of being an adult. Oh, I don't want to learn. I want to go out and smash things with hammers. Yes, I know, but if you're musical, oh, the world will be wonderful, and I will hear the wonderful noise, and... Oh, open up. So the kid goes, all right, I'll learn a violin, but you won't like it. I'll make a bad noise. Practicing. Yeah, 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 baby, the violin like this, the cello slightly bigger with a spike at the bottom that kills you, and the double bass you have to rest on a friend to play. I played the clarinet. And if you play a musical instrument, if you're a kid and playing a musical instrument, you want to play sexy tunes, don't you? I want to play sexy tunes. I want to play tunes so the other kids at school come up and say, hey, he's playing sexy tunes. People who I fancy say, we must dance provocatively in front of him. Like they do in films we don't believe. Playing the clarinet. We will shag him as soon as we know how. That was where you wanted to go, wasn't it? You wanted everyone to go, oh, wow, what a hip fucking dancey tune. But all the music lessons just make you learn dirge. I mean, I was learning from this book called A Tune A Day book. And... these tunes, what's this tune? Snug as a bug in a rug. So, is this a sexy tune, Mrs. Bad Crumble? I just don't think, Mrs. Bad Crumble, that this is really going to be a sexy tune. No, it's a terribly sexy tune on the clarinet. I made love to this tune with my husband in 1418 war, have you know. You did, it was a very sexy. Oh, I'll have a go, here we go. Na 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 na. No, no, no. At what point did you orgasm during the song? Mrs. Bad Crumble. All through it. It was multiple. They hadn't been invented in 1418 war, but I got there. On a hang glider. You're fucking nuts. The clarinet's got a wooden reed at the back. You have to push it, you have to make a... it's not an embouchure, which is something else. It's a kind of vegetable. But, that flute players have to deal with. But, and if you make a mistake, you squeak. After a while, I was practicing, and my dad was going, stop practicing! You sound crap! I have bought a hammer! You may borrow it if you wish. Oh, it was a dreadful fucking noise. And the clarinet's bad enough. The oboe has got two bits of wooden reed pushed together. You have to... designed not to let any sound in. Like trying to blow into a weasel. The tuba. Who chooses to play a tuba? Surely a tuba's a punishment thing. Surely it's community service. You'll be sentenced to 3 years on the tuba. Oh. Oh, Gov. Who wants to make... It's got a huge horn. You can get a child in there. And the fucking... The trumpet's okay, but it makes your cheeks go out to hamster size. There's a thing called a triangle that... Because it's just a triangle. It just goes ting. Forget it. Just with your mouth go ting. It's those percussions. Boom, 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 boom. Ting, boom. Where's your fucking triangle? Oh, grow up. They do that. People play big kettle drum. Like, don't want to get too loud. True story. So there's all these instruments, and I played third clarinet, right, in this school band. Now, first clarinets play the melody, that's okay, you know where you're going. Second clarinets play harmonies that back up the melody and sort of link, okay. Third clarinets play the notes that are left over. We were just going, na 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 na. It's boring. The only exciting way to do it was really blow it loud. No, 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 no. The teacher's going, piano, piano. You go, it's not a fucking piano. It's a clarinet. You weird talking person. And everyone's like, yeah, yeah, no, 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 woo, woo. Strange fucking noise. The teacher's going, oh, this is a god-awful band, this. I know, I'll get their parents to listen to this. Then maybe they'll kill them. And a big sign went up, school band will play tunes. And no one from the local town came. No hip people say, hey, we're going down to school, they're going to play a gig. We're going to stage dive on the bassoon player. Just parents came and sat there going, oh, oh, they're going to kill us. We're crap. Teacher gets up, school band will now murder, O come, O ye faithful. The song has been arranged with no real care. Helmets will be worn during this production. Go! No, 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 no. Yeah, 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 yeah. No, 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 no. Weasel, weasel, weasel. Hamster, boom, coo. Parents go, oh my God. We have spawned the devil. Let's go and find hammers for them.
Very nice, Mr. Eddie Izzard. Talking about his musical experiences with instruments. I played an instrument when I was growing up.
I loved him when he said, arrange with no real care.
Right, we're going to play arrange with no real care. Oh, I know that arranger. I used to play that music. You played it too, I think.
I did. Yeah, I played a clarinet in junior high in 7th grade and 8th grade. And then I went to Catholic school starting in 9th grade for high school. And there was no music program at my school until my senior year. So I played clarinet for another, like, my last year of high school, which is, like, the most pointless thing ever, because if you only play for 1 year and it's your 12th grade year, you're never going to pick up that instrument again in your entire fucking life.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
So, yeah.
You either get it or you don't, you know. That's right.
Exactly.
At that, it's a very teetering point. I started out on trumpet in elementary school, and I had braces, so I had difficulty playing.
Oof.
It. And then I went to clarinet, and then I went to bass clarinet, which I had a lot of fun on.
That's a huge instrument.
Yes, and then I went to saxophone. Somebody taught me how to play a tenor sax, and so I learned that. And then I learned the baritone sax, and that's what I finished
on. Picked up a lot of them. Not bad.
So a little few of them.
Well, how long has it been since you played any of that?
Holy Christ. I don't even remember.
You're stepping in the old Wayback Machine.
I think the last time I... Well, it was before the 90s. That's before I was got out of college. So it was the 80s, and it was probably the early 80s. It's been a long, long time since I played played an instrument. So unfortunately, those things to spare. But that's the way the music goes. Now I just play music on the radio.
Exactly. Well, sometimes comedy.
That's right. Comedy, too.
All right. Let's get back to the laughs.
Sure.
Why don't you pick one?
Well, why don't we play some classic from Eddie Murphy
here? Yes, I was just thinking that.
Let's do this. This is from Delirious. What is he talking about
here? This is James Brown.
Oh, my goodness.
To sing and get famous. Because James Brown been singing 20 years. I don't know what the fuck James is talking about. I don't understand shit James said. I met him once at Saturday Night Live. I walked up and said, James, I love your stuff. James says,
if I did that.
And whatever James is saying is some real heavy shit to James. Because it's real meaningful shit to James, because at the end of every sentence he ended off with, ha! He meant that shit that he just said, boy. Everything, he said, ha! You get mad, you start putting the needle back saying, what the fuck did I just miss?
And the people say, ha! Hey!
That's a James Brown lyric. He wrote that shit. He'd write the song, said, I need a word here.
Hey!
That's good. I like it. And get the song going, all the songs sounded the same. Jamie going,
Sabbath, the bound the people think I'm a dog. Or do mine? Sith, did he hear you? Hey! A time no, no. Come at the Parmesan, other side, sitting in the bus. Grandma, no one there. I. They made you. That was not more people know you now. Sit down, down, down. Down and down. Find the people say, jump back. Want to kiss myself.
Yeah.
Moving?
Yeah.
Grooving?
Yeah.
That was your mind.
You start talking to the band and lose you, right? I say,
tell it about now.
Band say, yeah.
There you.
Yeah.
Tell it about now.
Yeah. Band be going, what the fuck is James talking about? I don't know if we're getting paid. Keep singing. Yeah. Yeah. And people take singers. They love something about singers that people just love and shit. Because I did Stevie Wonder on the show once. And black people lost their motherfucking minds. I had brothers rolling up on me going, hey, you the motherfucker I be doing Stevie Wonder? That shit ain't funny, motherfucker. Don't you never let me see you do that shit again. I'll fuck you up. Stevie Wonder's a musical genius. That's terrible. That's terrible, man. Your mother brought you up wrong, that's what it is. Your mother brought you up wrong, motherfucker. I got mad. I was hanging out with Stevie 2 months ago. I said, look, Steve, I get too much motherfucking flack over this impression. I don't like doing it. I ain't doing the shit no more. Stevie said, well, if you did, I said, shut the fuck up. But you got to cut Steve off quick, because if he get a roll going, he'll talk your ears off. You ever see Steve win a Grammy and come up and give one of them long-ass acceptance speeches? I say, and the winner is Stevie Wonder. Stevie be talking about, and I'd like to say that all the people in the world today, God's children, and if you just take the motherfucking award and get the fuck out. But if you don't say nothing, the credits would be rolling, and Stevie going, and I'd like to think, I'd be in the car, I said, just shut the fuck up, Stevie. I'm telling you, you're a genius and all that shit, but you my boy, man. We hanging. I mean, like, it's nice and all that shit, but I don't appreciate all the flack. Personally, the piano and the singing, I told you how I feel about singing. I ain't impressed. You want to impress me? Take the wheel for a little while, motherfucker. I heard that shit, man. That shit wasn't funny. Then I suppose that any little sketch, Stevie crashed into a tree, right? Ha ha, very funny, motherfucker. Your mother got a wood leg with a kickstand, motherfucker. Your mother got a mouth in the back of her neck and the bitch chew like this. Fucking Stevie Wonder jokes and shit.
Yes, yes, yes. It's got to make you laugh. It's got to make you laugh.
That's so funny.
Eddie Murphy talking about James Brown and Stevie Wonder from Delirious. Funny classic stuff.
I know, it's so funny. And every once in a while there's that rumor that Eddie's going to come back to stand up, and it never fucking happens, and I wish it would because he's so hilarious. But him doing stand up is just the best thing ever. Both Raw and Delirious are just so great.
Classics.
And they hold up so well. That's the other thing. There's something about the way that he swears. It holds up better than the way other people do.
Yeah, and it works. It seems to work.
Eddie is just in full control and at this point, and it's just tremendous to watch him work. So,
Why don't you pick one now?
All right. So, let's play Paul F. Tompkins. It's in the upper right there.
Okay.
And this is
is this all about?
This is Paul F. Tompkins, who also has a podcast that I highly recommend that you would actually really like because it's a bit of it is highly scripted. I'll direct you to it.
Okay.
It's called the Pod F. Tomcast, and it comes out once a month, and it's wonderful. And he's also probably the, I guess after Louis C.K., probably the second best stand-up working in America today. And he's hilarious, and this is him talking about jazz.
I'll tell you this for free. Guess, this is not included in the price of admission. This is a bonus. I do not like jazz music, and I don't like it on behalf of you, the common stupid person. Now, come on, you're pretty stupid. Because jazz music is all about making the common man feel dumb. It's just a bunch of dudes playing solos at the same time. It's like a genre of music that is defying you to like it. Put it on. It's like the record is saying, "What's the matter, man? Don't you like our smart people's music? Maybe you're too dumb, dummy. It's the notes we're not playing." What? That's like a trick. What does that mean? Here's the worst thing jazz people do. Now, let's say you go to see some live jazz. And if you do, I'm sorry, but I'm sure it was an accident. Like maybe you lost a bet or you fell down some stairs. You woke up in a jazz club. Everybody's going around robbing with their solos. That's right. Everybody gets one. It's not just like regular music where the best dude gets to have a solo. Everybody gets one. If you're on the stage, you get to do a solo. That means even the upright bass player gets to have a solo. And so as he's up there, yeah, he's going through all the 24 notes that the bass is capable of. Just to the point where you thought you've heard it all. You get lulled into the rhythm, right? And at a certain point, you think the guy's going to go, but instead he goes, and then here's what's so horrible. All the jazz guys on stage with him, they all start laughing. They start laughing like it's the funniest thing they ever did see. They're up there giggling. That leaves you in the audience saying, "I don't get your jazz joke. What is happening? You've played many notes this evening, none particularly hilarious. Why is that note so side-splitting, jazz bows?" It's not funny. Because if something is inherently funny, it is relatable after the fact. I don't want to hear this "you had to be there" nonsense, right? I can't rearrange my whole schedule around when funny things are going to happen to you.
You can't relate this to someone else. Even if you understood it, you can't go into your job the next day and say, oh, last night we saw the funniest jazz fellow. At one point, instead of going, burp, he went, burp. Oh, that's a hot one, eh? Oh, my brain has many wrinkles.
Very good, very good.
My brain has many wrinkles.
Paul F. Tompkins.
That's really funny.
From his impersonal.
Oh, Paul is great. Recording. You really would love his show. It has this great format where it's got a theme to it. It's considered nighttime on the internet. So there's a piano playing the entire time. And he comes on, and the first 15 minutes or so are all him improvising. And he's probably the best improv stand-up comedian ever, because he can just
goes,
talk.
Yeah, he pulls the attitude out, and it's great.
And he can go anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes and go off like this and this and this and wind up pulling it all together at the end. And he's amazing at doing this. And then they go into something that's a written, prepared bit. And then maybe a live, performance. It's also like a sketch of some kind that's written with a guest, and then there's another thing that happens. And it's just, but it's really, you know, performed, you know, or put together with, you know, production and sound effects and everything like that. So I thought you would dig it because you're into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I like that, and that's a good track.
What's your show that you listen to? Is there one that you're particularly fond of?
As far as my
old-timey radio.
Oh, I listen to I like Philip Marlowe. I like The Adventures of Philip Marlowe.
Is that the name of the podcast?
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's direct people to that. Okay. Check out The Adventures of Philip Marlowe podcast
starring Gerald Moore.
Yeah. There's some other ones. Don't they have like old radio play podcasts too?
Oh yes, there are several. There's
have you gotten into those?
No, actually some of the dramatic plays and some of the productions I'm really not a fan of. Like I said, I like the old time radio. There's a science fiction one that's put out by Relic Radio. In fact, there's a couple that I like from
they have like old Rod Sterling kind of stuff
from Relic Radio. They have that. Actually, Rod Sterling did have a radio program. Mm-hmm. He did produce a radio show in the 70s.
Yeah.
So, and there's a few other ones, and they also have a thrillers one, and then there's one that's a crime and espionage.
I've checked out Relic Radio. That's a pretty cool site, and
it's very cool.
The shows that they put up on their podcast page are really fucking cool.
That's the kind of stuff I like. I like that with all the sound effects and things like that.
So
I would imagine there's some plays that would be really good.
And that's the great thing if you're into like a narrative story like that. That's not a bad place to go because a lot of the stories, especially the detective ones, hold up pretty well.
They hold up great.
Yeah,
you know, and like the Philip Marlowe takes place in like a Los Angeles circa 1949.
That's so fucking cool.
You know, it's like, oh, what's he talking about? I know the intersections he's talking about.
I know.
So what's that address again on Hillhurst? Oh, yeah, it's on Hillhurst and blah, 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 blah.
It's not there no more.
It's not there anymore.
All right. So
what are we going to do now?
Let's get back to it. Whose choice? It's your choice. Pick one.
There was one, I think, that you actually mentioned to me.
Oh, yeah. Play Mitch Hedberg.
Yes.
Let's make
that
your choice.
That's the choice.
It's in the third row there. Number
go. Okay, yes, because this is one that you told me about, and I wanted to get a little enlightened.
Yeah, so I'm surprised you hadn't heard of him. Mitch Hedberg is a really great stand-up and had a big, I guess, pretty large cult following, and started.
Don't forgive my ignorance, folks.
Yeah,
I'm
surprised you haven't. You might be familiar once you see him in a couple minutes. You might kind of have glimmers. But he started in the mid-90s and was pretty popular toward the end of the decade and unfortunately passed away really young. And that's unfortunate because it was really, really funny. Mm. And so let's play this. This is him, I guess, probably about 94, 95, since the host of the show is Janine Garofalo. So that shows you how old that is, and she's wearing a jean jacket. That's how old this is. So this is
I'm
early
bring
Mitch.
Up your first act now, and I believe it was Eva Perón who once said, "Please welcome this next gentleman, Mitch Hedberg."
That's very cool of you to applaud for me. I dig that. This is my microphone hand right here, so if it acts a little silly, it's adjusting to its newfound freedom. Keep that in mind. I performed in Nashville, Tennessee last week. I just got back this morning, and it was my second time at the club down there. And it wasn't by popular demand. It was because of rotation. That's what brought me back. Did radio interviews. I walked into the studio to do an interview. The DJ's first question was, "Who are you?" I had to think, you know. Is this guy really deep? Or did I drive to the wrong station? A lot of radio stations, they like to use their frequency number to count down the days of summer. Like FM 107 will celebrate the 107 days of summer, you know. AM stations can't do this. We're AM 1610, celebrating the 1610 days of the next 4.5 years. It's going to be a long party. Go slow. A lot of people flash the peace sign these days. You know, it's cool to flash the peace sign, but I think it's cooler to express peace verbally. Hey, brother. Two. Peace is a hard concept. I tell you, I was home last week and I heard a gunshot outside of my apartment. Then I saw two guys run by my window. So I was going to call the police. But then I got optimistic. I said, hey, maybe it's just a race. Yeah, that's what it is. There's a lot of late night track and field events by my house. Nocturnal jocks. I live in a studio apartment. One room. And like when people come over, I like to give them a tour. It helps loosen up their neck. I got a sliding glass door, has a sticker, says warning alarm system. It's a real simple alarm too. It consists of a sticker. If I'm gonna threaten people with words, I should be more intense, you know, than an alarm system, like maybe warning. No air inside. Quicksand. And a monster. I pushed it. Transportation is a good way to get around. I walk a lot. I'm a walker. Find if I don't walk, I end up in one spot. I walk by people who try to hand me out flyers, you know. When someone tries to hand me out a flyer, it's kind of like they're saying, here, you throw this away. Clap, I'm not used to that. Right? I was in a band for a while. I was in a band for 7 years. It was a death metal band. People either loved us or they hated us. Or they thought we were okay. A lot of death metal bands have intense names like Rigor Mortis or Mortuary or Obituary. We weren't that intense, so we just went with Injured. Later on, we changed it to a cappella as we were walking out of the pawn shop. We became a death metal barbershop quartet. I'm a shopper. I shop for things. I was looking for some glue recently. But all this one store had was super glue. It sounded way too overwhelming. They didn't have any pretty good glue. I don't want to hang from a steel beam. I just want to put some shit back together. I had another line, but it's too late. You clapped too long. The rhythm is over. I want to open up a chain of pizza restaurants called Mitch's Pizzeria. Not because I excel at making pizza, I just think Pizza Hut is cocky and they need to be taken out. They're advertising that they're going to accept all competitors' coupons. So if Mitch's Pizzeria was going on, I'd print up a coupon that said, unlimited free pizza. Special note, coupon not good at any of the Mitch's Pizza locations. Free pizza oven with purchase. Of a small Coke. I was born in Minnesota. That's where I was raised, Minnesota. That's why I left, too, because of you. That's kind of stupid. But when I was 18, I was kind of sick of living there. So my friend Tim and I, we packed up his Volare. We moved from Minnesota to Florida. We wanted to move to Texas, but the front end alignment was bad. We hooked up with a roommate down there. His name was Eddie. Eddie was kind of slow on the mental draw. I was writing a letter one night. I had a problem. I said, Eddie, how do you abbreviate Arkansas? He said, I don't know. Just start spelling it, then quit. I used to do acid on occasion. Like, when I was on acid, it was strange. I would see things like beams of light. I'd hear sounds that sounded an awful lot like car horns. When we were on acid, we would go into the woods, because when you're in the woods tripping, there's less likely a chance you run into an authority figure. Well, we ran into a bear. That was even more of a buzzkill. Friend Dwayne was standing there, raising his right hand, swearing to help prevent forest fires. We got him away from the bear. He put his arm around my shoulder. He said, Mitch, Smokey is way more intense in person.
Okay,
oh,
very good.
Great.
Mitch Hedren.
Hedberg.
Hedberg. Excuse me.
Jeez.
I'm so stupid.
Party
I'm so sorry.
You.
Okay.
So,
I should just be slapped.
I love how that's how old that weird sound you heard is somebody's VCR recalibrating.
Yes, that's right.
That was uploaded to
YouTube.
It was
mistracking.
It was mistracking.
It was a mistracking video, that little growl there.
Haven't seen that in so long. So because of your terrible foul of calling Mitch a horrible name, I won't say, you have to do the plugs.
Oh,
and it's your turn anyway.
I have to do the plugs. Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can call or actually you can write this radio station and tell me what an asshole I am for mispronouncing and totally getting that guy's name wrong. I'm so very sorry about that.
Jerk.
And the place to do that at is balconyradio@gmail.com. And of course, gmail.com. That's what I said. And, of course, you can send your criticisms, your comments, your suggestions, your whatever you want. If there's any kind of request that you would like to hear on the station, any songs or any kind of tribute or anything that you would like us to dedicate an episode of the 101 series to, you can do it at that particular email, which is balconyradio@gmail.com. And, of course, there is the ever-present website, which is balconyradio.com, which has our 24-hour stream running around the clock and giving you great music Monday through Saturday, a multi-genre soup of music and a great little sort of
bouillabaisse,
a great little gumbo of music.
It's a gazpacho of tunes.
A gazpacho. No, no, no. It's a bouillabaisse. It's a gumbo. It's a multi-genre taste of great soup of music.
Is it like a fondue?
It's a fondue. No, no, no. That's cheese,
man. Is that too cheesy?
That's too cheese. We don't do cheese on the balcony. We do nothing but rock and roll Monday through Saturday. But on Sundays, we also do jazz. What?
Except for that one time we let Elliot play.
Oh, yes, we did let Elliot do that. Well, he can play anything he wants.
Oh, he asked about us recently.
Good. Well, we got to talk to him. Yes. I'm turning your microphone off. Thank you. So, as back at the plugs, as I was continuing here, on Sundays we also do our 24-hour jazz stream, which happens from midnight to midnight, and you can hear that on the website as well. So, check that out, and that's on the website at balconyradio.com. You can also read about the station, see pictures of the place. You can also find out how to purchase all of the music that you play here, that we play here, and you can. It's always great to get something in your hand and say, "Hey, this is pretty cool!" And we play a lot of really great music. And you can also hear past podcasts, and you can. Check out some of the links that we like to suggest that you check out, and there's many things around the world of the internet that we so very deeply love, and we'd like you to check that out as well, and we think that they're quite edifying and quite enjoying. So, quite enjoyment, a lot of enjoyment enjoyable. To be had there. Quite enjoyable is the word I was looking for. Thank you. So, moving on, you can...
And don't forget the donate button.
You can... Oh, yes, of course. You can drop a little silver in the hat by clicking the donate button there at balconyradio.com. And thank you very much for dropping the silver in the hat and supporting us and helping us buy new headphones and new boards. And
every little bit
Oh, yes, it certainly does.
That's right. And everything is just that we get does not go into our pocket. It goes directly back into the station.
Boy, I wish it went into my pocket, man. But instead, it goes right back into
the station. Now, remember, we pledged nonprofit.
That's right. That's what keeps the commercials off this station.
Damn straight.
That's right. And you can also subscribe to the podcast, which you are doing at this very moment at iTunes by typing in Balcony Radio. And you can also friend us at Facebook by typing in Balcony Radio and giving us a friendly thumbs up and saying, hey, you guys are doing a pretty good job.
Be our friend.
Be our friend, man. We just like to do all kinds of stuff. We like to rock. We like to laugh. We like to party.
We like to
just have a really good old time, and we'd like to have you there along by our sides going, hey, man, you guys are all right. We can keep our station on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right there. You don't listen to any other radio station on the internet.
One.
We are the best, the greatest that's ever going to be. Well, okay, I'm probably exaggerating just a little bit too much, but we actually have fun doing what we do.
Scale it back a bit.
We got to scale it back and got to dial it down just a little bit for all the really other great radio stations, because there are a lot of great radio stations that we listen to as well.
Yeah, you found some on
I listen to Boom FM.
Boom
man.
FM is pretty
That's
good,
a really great oldies station. So.
Yeah.
There you check
and
that
then
out.
There are other podcasts that we also recommend, several comedy podcasts, like the aforementioned... Tig Notaro and Paul F. Tompkins. They
That's
both have
right.
shows. We totally recommend them.
Lots of good fun.
They don't know who we are, but we know who they are.
That's so, right. We listen to them through their words and get a good laugh out of what they do.
So
I see something here by John Glazer where he talks about ZZ Top.
You want to play that one?
Yes, I'd like to. That's right. That looks like it'd be a really good story.
Yeah, this is pretty funny. Check this out.
All right.
I want to bring up our next performer, who is one of my... makes me laugh so much in so many ways. And honestly, truly, everybody put your hands together for Mr. John Glazer.
My dad died recently. Thank you for that. And he and I were not, we were not very close. My parents were divorced when I was pretty young. And, you know, I'd see him on weekends and all that, but it was a very peripheral relationship. And over the last several years, when we kind of knew he was dying and there was no going back, I thought we would be able to resolve certain things and put things behind us, but that was not able to happen. And so I, up until he died, I really never got to know him that well. And when he did pass away, I had to go back to Michigan and settle his estate and kind of go through things at his house. And it's a very profound, I have to say, very profound experience to get to know your father through his belongings, to discover things about him that you never knew, and start sort of piece together who he is. And one of the things that I discovered upon going through his stuff was that my dad was in ZZ Top. Which is something that he never cared to share with me. Which may have made a big difference in my life and who I am. But he was in ZZ Top, and I discovered, not the band as you know them now, he was in an early incarnation before they really became who we know them to be now. And I discovered, basically in a box that was labeled, "Don't show this to my son." It's actually not through. I thought I'd throw one joke in there. Just for these guys to keep it, you know, so it wasn't like, ah, boring. But in this box of things, it was actually labeled ZZ Top letters, which I wasn't going to say because I thought you would never believe that, but that's what it said. And so I found these letters that he wrote to members of the band, and I wanted to read a few of them tonight. There was a lot of them, but I'll read four. Just to kind of give a little bit of a syllabus to what you're about to hear, just to get you up to speed, to refresh your memory, the drummer's name is Frank Beard. So if you hear that name, that's who that's referring to. The guitar player is Billy Gibbons, and the bass player is Dusty Hill. So if you hear those names, those are the references. This first letter is, and I also just want to say really quick that I know in comedy shows that the letter, the correspondence, the journal, the diary is it's a very tired comedic device. And the difference between mine and those is that these are real. These are real letters from my dead father who is in ZZ Top. This first letter is from the first weeks of the band when they were just kind of getting going. "Hey guys, by now you know that instead of talking about stuff at rehearsals, I prefer to keep quiet, gather my thoughts at home, and write you all letters. I know you hate it and wouldn't put up with it if I weren't the greater Houston area's greatest keyboard player." It's one thing I never knew about my dad, that he lived in Houston. "Anyway, dynamite rehearsals last week. I know you're not supposed to count your chickens before they come out of the eggs, but I think we're going to be huge. I mean, come on. Look at this lineup. Billy on guitar, Dusty on bass, Frank on drums, and Dave Glazer on keyboard? You gotta be kidding me. We'll be Houston's biggest soul fusion quartet in no time." So there's a lot of things I discovered about my dad in this first letter, that he played keyboard, which I never knew, that he used to live in Houston, I'm from Michigan, and that ZZ Top was originally a soul fusion quartet. The second letter, he talks about, I guess they were trying to come up with the name of the band. "Hey guys, sorry to throw some negative vibes your way, but I have to say that I absolutely hate the name that was decided for our band. ZZ Top? Come on guys, you have got to be kidding me. I have no idea what that's supposed to mean, and I still have no idea what the Z's stand for, even after Billy explained it five times. But I do have to say that I at least like the top part of ZZ Top. So I'm suggesting that we drop the Z's and focus on the top part. Here are some band names I thought of. Tip Top. The Tip Toppers. Top Hat. Top This. Take It to the Top. Dessert Topping. The Four Toppings. Spin Top Spin. Straight to the Top of the World. The On Top of Old Smokies. Top Top Till You Drop. And finally, TT Zop. My dad's words, my dad's words. And he put in parentheses after TT Zop. Sorry, guys, I couldn't resist putting that one in. I have more names, but we can just go over those at rehearsal. But give it some thought, guys. ZZ Top is just fucking stupid. Really harsh there. Oh, P.S. I saw that movie Midnight Cowboy after rehearsal. Don't bother seeing it unless you're into weird pornos. So this third letter, I guess they had must have had a meeting about the beards that those guys have. Hey, guys. First of all, I can't believe you didn't like any of my band names. Even some of the other ones from the list. Top of the Morning, Bad Tippers, Good Toppers, When the Red Red Robin Goes Top, Top, Topping Along, Stop Sign Minus the S. That one I thought was kind of cool. But I've been outvoted, and I'll go with it. Just don't expect me to smile too much during our shows. Now, moving on to the suggestion of us all growing beards. Are you serious? Manicured, stylized beards that go down to the middle of the chest? Please. There's no way we'll get any backstage pussy with those things. I'm glad that at least Frank agrees with me on this one. If you guys want to go ahead and grow them, by all means, be my guest. Just don't go looking for any apartments in Pussyville, because there won't be any vacancies. My dad's words. I'm sorry to hold such a hard line on this one, but I don't look good with a beard anyway, and something that long would just get in the way of me trying to play my keyboard. So thanks, but no thanks. I'll just keep my ponytail. Just don't be surprised when I'm the only band member who smells like pussy. It'll be from all the pussy I'm getting. Never knew my dad had a ponytail. No photos, not even like photos of after, like, you know, he never showed me photos, obviously, of ZZ Top, but he wouldn't even, no photos of like right after he quit, and there's still the ponytail, so. So I'm going to skip ahead. There was a few more letters in between that last one and this one, but this is where he quits. This is a pretty incredible letter where he tells the guys in ZZ Top he's out. Well, guys, I'm sure this will come as no surprise, but I'm quitting the band. This one was a no-brainer, as this is no longer the type of band I want to be in. I want to be in a soul fusion band. I've met with some musicians the last couple of weeks and decided to form a band with a sax player named Blue Moe and a bass player named Skeets Ding Dong. We're going to call ourselves Soul Fucius. It's a play on the name of the philosopher Confucius, while at the same time letting people know we're a soul fusion band. I thought of the name, and the other guys love it. So that's that. I just want to say I hope there's no hard feelings, but I also want to say that I'm so glad I'm not in your band anymore. I think ZZ Top is the fucking stupidest name. I think the songs suck. I fucking hate all of you guys. I hope you guys fucking fail beyond belief. I think you're all a bunch of dicks. I think the bass line in Tush sucks. Fuck you, Frank. Fuck you, Dusty. Fuck you, Billy. Fuck all you guys. And good luck finding another keyboard player, you dicks. Wow. So, want to thank Eugene and Bobby for inviting me up tonight. Thank you.
Mr. John Glazer.
Oh my goodness. Well, that's called burning your bridges there from ZZ Top, you know. Well, I guess his dad really just blew it there, man.
I lost it at Skeets Ding Dong.
Skeets Ding Dong.
For some reason, that just made me laugh.
Yeah, that's Soul Fusion. Soul Fuchsius.
Skeets Ding Dong. Oh, man. God damn it.
Very bizarre.
All right, that was so funny.
John Glazer and his ZZ Top dad.
Oh, that was great. Okay.
I didn't know that history existed about ZZ Top. Man, that's okay.
That's wonderful.
That's news to me.
Okay, so let's pick something silly. Play the Tenacious D.
Oh, that sounds like a good plan.
All right, this is Inward Singing.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I've done it.
Cage, come here! I want you!
What? What? God! Sleeping, dude. What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
What?
I did it.
What'd you do?
I've done it. I fucking did it. The most powerful tool in singing technology since yodeling, dude. Oh, my God, inward singing.
What?
Check it out. It's an invention, and it makes nonstop rocking possible. Think about it, man! Rock singers are only rocking you half the time! The other time they're breathing in! But not anymore, baby! Not with inward singing, check it out!
I start some lyrics and you can't believe I'm singing, and I'm never fucking stopping, and I'm always fucking singing, and now you know that I will never stop the fucking singing. I'm like a fucking one-man band. I'm like a fucking one-man band.
And I can sing like that all fucking night.
Wow. It wasn't really non-stop, though. There was this, like...
Gosh, shut up! It is non-stop! And the other thing is that when I'm fucking singing in, it sounds even better than when I'm singing out. Shut up! Fuck you! You fucking dick! Always naysaying everything I create! You piece of shit! You create something like inward singing! You fucking shit! You fucking sit in your tower! You fucking nap! What's funny? You fucking bitch! Fucking fuck you! Fucking cock ass! You're fired from the band.
That won't be necessary, Jack.
What?
I'm quitting.
What?
I quit.
And Kyle quit the band.
After that, I think I would too. Oh, well.
Inward singing.
Not good.
It rocks.
Outward yelling.
All right, let's get on with it. This is too funny. Pick another one.
Oh, well, how about Chris Rock?
Yeah, pick this one. This is Chris Rock in defense of rap.
Now, I'm 39, right? And I still love rap music. I love rap music, man. I love it, but I'm tired of defending it. Because you got to defend rap music, man. Because people always go, that's not music, that's not art, that's garbage. How can you listen to that garbage? How can you listen to that trash? And in the old days, it was easy to defend rap music. It was easy to defend it on an intellectual level. You could break it down intellectually why Grandmaster Flash was art, why Run DMC was art, why Houdini was art and music. You can break it down intellectually, okay? And I love all the rappers today, but it's hard to defend this shit. It's hard, man. It's hard to defend I got hoes in different area codes. It's hard to defend move, bitch, get out the way. Well, as you can see, there's a bitch in his way that he needs to move. Thus the term, move, bitch, get out the way. You need to open your eyes so you can get the bitches out of your way. My favorite song right now is Impossible to Defend. It's impossible. We should all be ashamed of ourselves for liking this fucking song. Lil Jon. You know that shit. To the window, to the wall, to the sweat drip from my balls. To the sweat drip from my balls. Skeet, 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 skeet. And you know what's real wild? You go to a club, you see girls dancing that shit, loving it. Just sweat drip from my ball. Just sweat drip from my ball. Just sweat, just sweat, just sweat drip from my ball. Of my balls, skeet, skeet. Of my balls, skeet, skeet. Just sweat, my balls, my balls. You know what's wild? I feel sorry for the guys that gotta pick a wife out of this bunch. Daddy, where'd you meet mommy? Oh, she was singing about balls at a club. Skeet, skeet, skeet. You know, that's why people always say rap music is misogynistic and it's degrading to women. But what I realize, man, is women that like rap don't give a fuck. Women that like rap don't care what they saying. If the beats are right, she will dance all night. Women don't give a fuck. The nastier the better. I see girls on the floor dancing into the nastiest shit ever made. Just on the floor like smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. Smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. Smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. Smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. I put a dick in the air, a dick in the air. Dick in the air, dick in the air. Fuck her in the eye, fuck her in the eye. Fuck her in the eye, fuck her in the eye. Blind the bitch, blind the bitch, blind the bitch. And you know what's wild? If you mention to a woman that the song is disgusting and misogynistic, they all give you the same answer. He ain't talk about me. Smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. Smack her with a dick, smack her with a dick. I put a dick in the air, dick in the air. He said your name. No, he didn't. Smack her with a dick. 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 Love rap music. Tired of defending it, man. And it's well with rap music, man, because people either love it or hate it. Even the United States government hates rap. The government hates rap. You know why I say that? Because they don't arrest anybody that kills rappers. They don't got no clues, no suspects. They don't have shit when it's a dead rapper. They don't fill out a police report. They don't even have a chalk line when it's a dead rapper. Shit, if you want to get away with murder, all you got to do is shoot somebody in the head and put a demo tape in their pocket. This is a rap killing. Let's go home. The government hates rap, man. Look at all these dead rappers, man. Biggie Smalls, Jam Master Jay, Tupac Shakur. No, Tupac was gunned down on the Las Vegas Strip after a Mike Tyson fight. Now, how many witnesses do you need to see some shit before you arrest somebody? Shit. More people saw Tupac get shot than the last episode of Seinfeld. And you know what's fucked up? Every year, Tupac comes back from the dead, records a new album with clues in it. Every record got a clue if you listen real hard. The brother in the red shot me dead right there. Track four. Pac is trying to tell us something. Listen again. It was a nigga named Kevin with a Mac 11 right there. Pac is reaching out to us. Listen! The government hates rap, man. And only rappers get gunned down like this. But I tell you right now, if Billy Joel, Elton John, and David Bowie got shot, they'd have Bruce Springsteen's house surrounded. The government hates rap. And only the good rappers are dead. Only the good ones. Biggie dead. Tupac dead. Vanilla Ice still alive. The government hates rap. You mean to tell me they can find Saddam Hussein in a fucking hole, but you can't tell me who shot Tupac? They found Saddam Hussein in fucking Iraq. Tupac got shot in Vegas. In fucking Vegas. Not on no side street. The motherfucker got shot on the strip. In front of Circus Circus. Damn. It's all fucked up. The whole world's fucked up, man.
It certainly is. Oh, goodness. Chris Rock.
Oh, he's so wonderful.
He's a funny man.
All right. He's in the top three working. It's Chris Rock, Louis C.K., and Paul F. Tompkins are the top three.
Yeah.
And they put Tompkins at three there.
But Chris, he
when Chris is going,
when he's rolling, when he gets on something.
He's the best when he's going, though. Jesus yeah. Christ.
That's,
so funny.
That's cool. That was a good
one.
Oh,
that was killing me. That's always funny. All right, so let's play another one.
Oh, what do we have now?
Oh, it's my choice. Yes. Yeah, let's play Patton Oswalt.
Here we go.
This is another one of my faves. He's pretty big right now. And this is Patton Oswalt talking about 80s metal.
I don't know if anyone watched VH1's Metal Mania Weekend, where they're showing all these 80s metal videos. Oh, my God. I discovered something when I watched all these 80s metal videos on VH1. If you were into heavy metal in the 80s, guess what? You're gay. Did you know that? You're fucking gay. Those videos were gayer than 8 guys blowing 9 guys. That is how gay. Oh, my God. With an extra dick left over to go in the ear. Woo! Holy shit. All of these videos are like these shirtless, or even worse, a vest and no shirt, yay! Guys with the long hair, and they're all sweaty, and they're rocking out in a factory that apparently manufactures sparks. Like, that's all it makes, just sparks. And they're just like rubbing bare shoulder blades together, like, yes! You know, just rocking out. And then in the middle of the video, they'll cut to a group of hot chicks miles away from the band, nowhere near the actual band members, just posing with power tools in a auto wrecking yard or something, you know. Maybe I'll get the guys in Haircut 100 to fuck me, because I'm not going to get any cock from the guys in Jackal with a Y. So the one thing I really liked about the 80s hairband videos that needs to come back, the one recurring motif were the bands that would rock so fucking hard they could change the physical properties of things. Like, they would blow holes through walls for their rocking, or, you know, go up to your shitty Honda Civic and go squibbly-doo, and all of a sudden it's a sleek Lamborghini. Like, hey, thanks, Night Ranger. That needs to come back, you know, like System of a Down or Queens of the Stone Age have to do a video where they're going, that cheese sandwich isn't grilled, squibbly flabbly do, and all of a sudden it's a melted cheese. Ow, god damn, you Armenian geniuses. But that concept kind of jumped the shark with the, remember that supergroup Damn Yankees? Remember them? Oh my god. You had a guy from Night Ranger, a guy from Styx, and Ted Nugent. The Nuge formed a supergroup, and in their video, the police have cornered them in a house because they're dangerous. There's a 48-year-old guy from Styx in that band. Arrest him! So they're just shooting bullets and shotgun shells into the house, filling the house with lead. But suddenly Ted Nugent comes out with his guitar and squibbly flabbly do, and the fucking bullets are ping zang. He's deflecting the bullets with the power of his rocking. Oh my god. Wow. Wow. Where were the Beavis and Butthead copycats when that video came out? Just like all across the Midwest. Dude, you start, just start shooting. I'm gonna, ready? Squibbly flap, pip, 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 dead. We could have lost the entire mullet haircut in one weekend. Just gone.
I couldn't agree more.
Squibbly-doo.
Very good indeed. Very good indeed. Patton Oswalt talking
really
about
funny.
'80s metal, and there was I've seen all those metal videos.
Yeah, I know.
MTV used to play them. In
I've
heavy
seen
rotation.
My share, and man, he couldn't be more dead on.
They were god awful videos.
Every once in a while, though, like when you watch, I guess it's VH1 Classic. They have their metal video shows, and I'll watch a little bit. Every once in a while, you'll come across a song though, and you'll think this is okay, but literally 90% of it is garbage.
It's terrible.
I don't get what the fuck was happening between 1982 and 89. Yeah. Oh, man, what the hell is going on? It's your generation.
I'm sorry about that. Well, you know, there was a lot of overproduced. They were trying to go for the Springsteen heavy-duty city rock and roll type of thing, you know, Streets of Fire and all that stuff.
Oh, man. That's a flashback there.
See, that's the bad 80s imagery.
Very bad, yeah.
The comic book 80s.
Yep, which was the bulk of the 80s.
It could be very comic bookish. It was all based on that. I mean, that whole generation grew up on television
and movies and comic
and
books.
Comic books and all that stuff, so...
So every video is written ridiculous, and the bands and can perform magic, and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, let's shoot lightning out of the end of my guitar and shoot the building down and set it on fire.
I blame Gene Simmons.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, anywho.
We're going to play something by, I think we're going to do some Bill Hicks here.
Yeah, so we're going to finish up since this is it.
Oh, is this the last one?
Yeah.
Oh, heavens.
Yes, it is.
Well, thank you very much for listening to the one.
I didn't realize I crept up on you there, didn't I?
No, my name is Scott.
And I'm Anthony. And this is an episode. Shake that one off, Scott.
It's been lesson 36 of the 101 series.
36, the comedy special.
What do we called it?
I forgot what we called it. Did I write it down? Standing room only.
Standing room
which
only.
Which is what we should have called it at the beginning of the show and forgot to.
There you go. The title.
That's right.
We hope you enjoy that. So send us your emails at balconyradio@gmail.com and tell us if you like it or not.
Yeah, check us out
and
on
keep
Facebook
subscribing
too.
To the podcast, even if you didn't like it, because there's a lot of other podcasts to subscribe to.
Yes, it's usually music. This is one of the rare excursions into non-music programming. So
I forgot to say during the plugs that we drop a podcast on Sundays and Wednesdays.
That's right. So.
Sundays is our variety of all kinds of stuff, and then Wednesdays is the 101 series.
So if you didn't like this show, just wait a couple days.
Yeah, you
another one is coming down the pike.
Another one's coming down the pike.
Anyway, so we're going to finish up with, belated Bill Hicks, who's unfortunately also gone from this world, and it's a bummer. Were you into Bill at all? Are you familiar with his work?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, Bill was really great. He's kind of deified now in the comedy community, I think, but a lot of his stuff doesn't translate, I think, because it's really ranty about things that are particular, kind of era-centric. So, what the hell was that? Did you hear that?
Oh, that's the elevator. you can hear the elevator in our building.
Every once in a while, knocks and pings.
We're nearly 60 years old, so...
Some of Bill's stuff is I don't know, long periods where it's not as funny now as I guess it was then, but this bit on Rockstars that we're going to watch is really great, so let's finish up with this.
Alright, thanks for listening.
Thanks everyone.
George Michaels, man. Have you seen this guy? He's hawking Diet Cokes now. Have you seen that commercial? Woo! Diet Cokes! I'm George Michaels. Woo! I'm a rock star. What kind of Reagan wet dream is this fucking world, man? These are our rock stars, yeah? Hawking Diet Cokes? What real rock star would do something like that? It's Keith Moon for Snickers. Sometimes I'm doing a drum solo and I haven't eaten for like 3 fucking weeks. The needle broke off in me arm. I eat a Snicker. That's a rock star. Diet Coke. Why don't you just put a skirt on and get on a swing set for that commercial, George? Diet Coke. Come on, y'all. Let's drink Diet Coke together and listen to rock music. Come on. Come on, everybody. I got extra panties in the tour bus. Let's go. Come on. I got panties for everybody. We're going to drink Diet Coke so our little bottom doesn't get too big. God, we love little bottoms, don't we, girls? Yes, we do. Make me fucking sick. everybody's hawking products. So that's the highest thing you can achieve in our culture, isn't it? Become some barker. Gosh, getting into it. Who do I kill? Jeff. Sinatra sells beer. He doesn't have enough fucking money, you know? Nothing's sacred. I'm waiting to see. It's Jesus for Miller. I was crucified, dead for 3 days, resurrected, have waited 2,000 years to return to Earth. It's Miller time. You know, Jesus, it doesn't get better than this. Rick Astley, have you seen this banal incubus at work? Boy, if this guy's not heralding Satan's imminent approach to Earth, huh? Don't ever want to make you cry, never want to make you sigh, never want to break your heart. I wouldn't worry about that without a dick, buddy. You got a corn nut. You have a clit. You're not even a guy. You're an AIDS germ that got off a slide. They're putting music to AIDS germs, putting a drum machine behind them in a metronome beat, and Ted Turner's colorizing them, goddammit. These aren't even really people, man. It's a CIA plot to make you think malls are good. Don't you see? But Bill, malls are good. Malls allow us to shop 365 days of the year at 72 degrees. That must be a goodness. We're happy consumers. I'm a happy consumer. And you know, I'm concerned about what my children consume. I'd like to consume the barrel of a 12-gauge shotgun right now if I could. Thank you, because I'm in hell. You do realize by the year 2000, all malls in the world are going to be connected. There's going to be a subculture of mall people who have never seen daylight, born, bred, and raised in the malls, and sent out to the wafting tunes of Debbie Gibson to become happy consumers. Maybe it's me. I'm going to leave it up to you. I'm going to let you decide all of this, sir. You look like a reasonable gentleman. But I remember a time when music had soul, and music had conscience, and music had balls. Do you recall that at all, or am I romanticizing the past? Excuse me? For the whole people here.
Yes, I do.
Yes, he does. Jimi Hendrix? Yeah. Any question about that guy? Yeah. Stand by the mountain, chop it down with the edge of my hand. This guy had a dick. Like an anaconda head swinging in the wind. Don't ever want to make you cry. Never want to break your heart. Diet Coke, come on. We're the new rock stars. We're the ones that drink Diet Coke and shop in your malls. Woo! Make me fucking sick. I would love to have seen the Jimi Hendrix Debbie Gibson album. I bet he could shake her love right in half. Foxy! Mommy! Foxy made it! Mommy! Voodoo child, baby! Just cut her in two with a dick like a buzzsaw. Cut her into little mall cordwood, man. Save a pair of bloody panties for a Rick Astley to slip on. Boom. She's dead. He's a woman. Jimmy's still jamming.
Mike Zappa.
Joni Mitchell.
Neil Diamond.
Somewhere in the greater Los Angeles area.
The Mamas and the Papas.
The Buffalo Springfield.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Just around the corner from the 24-Hour Fitness.
The Guard.
Captain Beefheart.
From the Birds.
There are two men on the third floor of a nondescript apartment building with a very old mixing board.